It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. Here we are. I don't know if you realize this, Phil. We are literally now a month out from the election. We're there. It is game on, folks. 30 days.
It only gets more interesting from here.
Oh, yeah. Now's when the fun begins.
Oh, my.
Now is when the fun begins. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and through social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to hear from you. Couple of quick notes. Don't forget to listen for the daily carry-on commentaries. You'll hear those here on KNSS 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Make sure you listen in for those. And also, I just wanted to share, if you're looking for Trump Vance yard signs, they're available here in Wichita. You can get them. The Sedgwick County Republican Party has them, and the folks at Kansans for Life have them. So if you're looking for Trump Vance yard signs, you can reach out to the Sedgwick County Republican Party or to the folks at Kansans for Life and get yourself a Trump yard sign. Tonight, we've got a great show planned for you. Former Kansas State School Board member Dr. Walt Chappell will be with us here in studio to explain why he says much of the information presented to the USD 259 School Board in public meetings to justify their $450 million bond increase is false or misleading. Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will recap Tuesday's vice presidential debate and expose how CBS has been wildly slanted in their favor of Harris. A big shock. Kansas House Majority Leader Chris Croft will explain how Governor Kelly has completely abandoned all pretense for moderation in endorsing a cadre of candidates who are socialists and liberals. Whatever happened in the middle of the road? Numbers USA research director Eric Rourke will try and explain. You guys, I'm sure you hear all the press. The Democrats are all talking about, well, if we'd only passed that Senate border bill, it would have fixed anything. Yeah, no, it would not have fixed a thing. And Eric Rourke will be with us to explain exactly why it wouldn't have fixed anything. And Chris Parisho, candidate for Kansas House District 95, will continue our candidate profiles. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. I'm sure you guys have all heard the old nursery rhyme, it's raining, it's pouring, the old man is snoring. It used to be a nursery rhyme. Today, it has replaced the Hail to the Chief as the theme song for the president. And it's a frightening reality for our lack of leadership at on Pennsylvania Avenue, as President Biden is the old man, and he's shuffling his way to the end of his misbegotten and only term as president. On Wednesday, Biden finally visited the site of devastation in North Carolina wrought by Hurricane Helene. And even if he had to skip a nap or two, he at least finally went to the scene of the devastation from this most recent natural disaster. This comes amid real concerns that the federal response is lackluster and insufficient. Of course, that would not have been the case had FEMA not spent their hurricane disaster release funds on illegal immigrants. But, you know, that's all a lie because, you know, Kamala Harris tells us it's a lie. So it must be true. So does Karine Jean-Pierre. They all say that we're lying, even though FEMA director Mayorkas already said that that's where the money went. Then there's this ongoing war in the Middle East. I don't know if you've seen it. There's bombs and rockets flailing tonight. But on Tuesday, it saw Iran launch the largest ballistic missile attack in human history against Israel. And again, Joe Biden had to be awoken from a nap in order to respond to that. Despite that, on several occasions when Biden told them, don't, that was his solution, was to tell Iran, don't, which, of course, they did anyway. And while, thankfully, owing to the military might of Israel and the United States, the Iranian onslaught carried all the devastation of a Nerf gun fight, it was still a slap in the face of our feckless president. Because remember, he told them don't. And that's Joe Biden's version of diplomacy. Don't. It's like dealing with a 9-month-old puppy while it pees in the living room. Americans know we currently have no functioning president, and we haven't had one for some time. The president is incapable of fulfilling his duties, and his vice president is now running for president, and by running, I mean as far away from Grandpa Joe as she can get. She doesn't want to be anywhere near Joe Biden because she doesn't want that taint on her record. She doesn't want to be associated with Joe Biden because she doesn't want him to drag her down in the polls. And in any sane world, our senile commander-in-chief would step down and Vice President Kamala Harris would take the reins. But that can't happen because if it did, then she would suddenly have to be responsible for the haywire state of world and domestic affairs. She might actually have to make a decision. And, of course, when things inevitably go wrong, she would then have to weigh those consequences. I might actually have to do a serious interview or two. Might actually have to answer a question or two. So for all intents and purposes, the United States of America has no president right now. But what we do have is a host of crisis-level situations at home and abroad that are not being completely addressed. For basically another 4 months, until this situation gets resolved one way or another, until either former President Trump or Kamala Harris is sworn in as president next January, our ship of state essentially has no captain and rudderless it is at a significant risk of capsizing. And you have to keep in mind, our enemies know this. Our adversaries know this. Biden's fumbles may have started a clock towards war across the globe, with adversaries and enemies having more than 4 months to exploit Biden's mental incapacity. And it's one thing to replace Biden as their nominee, but that may no longer be enough to keep peace. International security might now depend on the 25th Amendment governing presidential disability and succession if someone would be courageous and have the cojones enough to invoke it. I mean, Vice President Kamala Harris may not exude competence, but she is at least in charge of her own faculties, a low bar, but a necessary one nonetheless. Joe Biden has gone to bed. He's wrong in the head, and he doesn't start work until 10 a.m. in the first place. Our allies know it. Far worse, our foes know it. And as unusual, it's the American people who are suffering. In a normal world, Joe Biden would have stepped down by now, and he'd be free to lay on the beach in Delaware all day and bask in the sun, which he does anyway, but at least this way we'd be out of our hair. But these are not normal times, so until January 20th, the best we can do is cross our fingers and, sadly, hope for the best. We'll take a quick break, and then Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will recap Tuesday's debate and expose how the debate host CBS has been wildly slanted in favor of Harris-Waltz. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one host. Number one host, too, but that's true. We'll be back right after this. That one's for Andy Hoosier. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, AFP Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. You get to join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 Central to phone for freedom. If you'd like information, you need to do this, by the way. Get involved, get activated, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, objectively, not as bad as ABC's presidential debate a few weeks ago, which will no doubt go down as one of the worst debate performances by the moderators in history. CBS's vice presidential debate Tuesday night didn't fare much better. Liberal moderators Margaret Brennan and Nora O'Donnell were so desperate to make Senator J.D. Vance look bad, they repeatedly broke the rules of the debate to fact-check him. And their so-called fact-checks were so wrong that Vance at one point had to call them out for it. With us now to recap the debate is Curtis Houck with Newsbusters. Curtis, brother, it wasn't as bad as the presidential debate, but the moderator's bias was on full display, wasn't it? I mean, it was really bad.
Yeah, good evening, John. Good evening, folks in Kansas and Wichita. This was one of those debates where you objectively could say they weren't as bad, but I would argue maybe, I'm just going to go on a limb, they were just as bad, if not worse, because they had a level of sanctimony about them.
They were so sanctimonious. They were so sanctimonious. And what I loved is when they would fact-check Vance by asking Tim Walz to fact-check him.
Right, to respond. Yes. So, like, okay, so folks, think about this. David Muir and Lindsay Davis, you know, they had their little fact checks, but they admitted, or at least Lindsay Davis in her profile with the Los Angeles Times, admitted afterward that they had these fact checks prepared in advance. So if you would go back and listen, a lot of these fact checks kind of sound like they're canned lines. Whereas with Margaret Brennan and Nora O'Donnell, it was, yeah, they had these ready. But and what was so condescending about them was they weren't like, you know, with Lindsay Muir or Lindsay Davis and David Muir, President Trump, you know, blah, 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 or whatever. J.D. Vance would finish speaking, and then they would be like, not even looking at him. They would be like, well, this and this and this and this. And J.D. Vance was like, You know, like, okay, a simple no would have sufficed. You know, it's like the end of Billy Madison. Like,
right.
You know.
Well, what I loved was
what's going on here.
The whole point was CBS News agreed that they would not fact check either candidate, but would leave it up to the debaters to do that. Now, the fact that Tim Walz is incapable of doing it should be irrelevant. It wasn't the job of the moderators. I mean, Curtis, at what point are these candidates? No wonder Donald Trump isn't going to do another debate. At what point are candidates just going to stop agreeing to these?
Right. There's no reason he should. Well, and I think this also kind of bleeds into what's going to be happening tomorrow night, where there's going to be a 60 Minutes interview for Kamala Harris, but nothing for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's team correctly was like, yeah, we got screwed in 2020 and you guys are a biased network. Yeah, we're not going to play games with you on 60 Minutes. You know, Scott Pelley to take his glasses off and wag them at you. He was the guy who said during Trump's presidency, it was another day of presidential statements divorced from reality.
Right.
You know, very pious kind of guy.
Well, who the hell watches 60 Minutes anymore anyway? I mean,
right. Except the Democratic base.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's really the key here. You saw also that Kamala Harris is going to be doing a number of interviews this week. She did the Call Her Daddy one, which Brian Stelter is like defending. This basically is a sex advice columnist. You know, we used to work for Barstool Sports, kind of bro esports platform, but now she struck out on her own. And Brian Stelter spending her. She did that interview last week when she was supposed to be helping out with hurricane relief efforts. Okay. And when Israel was being attacked by Iran, she's talking to Colbert this week. She's also going on The View and she's talking to Howard Stern.
Oh, wow. So that's all going to be tough questions. She's going on The View.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. That'd be like Donald Trump doing, you know, an interview with Mark Levin. I mean, you know. Come on.
Hannity, you know, come on. Like, what are we doing here? Like, honestly. And they go after those interviews all the time. The Stelters of the world lose their minds. They're losing their noodles on a constant daily basis, talking about the worst questions that they were at, Donald Trump was asked or whatever, in their mind. Whereas, you know, they don't do that with their own because they don't care.
Right.
Okay.
No.
And Tim Walz was completely incompetent. He was exposed. And what was interesting was in the post-debate analysis, there was a combination of people caught with their pants down. They really didn't know what to do. CBS was kind of fumbling over their words. John Dickerson and Cecilia Vega didn't really know what to say. You also had people like on CNN attacking Tim Walz saying, oh, maybe he had too much debate prep. This is what happens when you prepare too much. That's what Dana Bash
is doing. Oh, yeah, that's it. All right.
Or you had other people say that, well, he was still better on the substance. That was what Rachel Maddow did. Well, he may have fumbled around or whatever, but he was right on the facts.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I'm friends with school shooters. What?
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? We're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. So you guys at MRC, that's a media research center, did a study, and this kind of media bias shouldn't surprise anyone, because according to the study, during the 2 months from July 21st, which is when President Biden left the race, through September 27th, your analysis reviewed all 346 minutes, which, by the way, I don't want it that job, by the way, but you reviewed all 346 minutes of campaign coverage, and the results were obvious. 89% of the coverage of Democrats of Walz was positive, and 89% negative coverage for J.D. Vance. I mean, wow. You couldn't do this on purpose if you tried.
Right. And what was interesting when you kind of dig into some of these numbers is when they talked about the substance, it was really the framing, which you also saw in the debate, was on the terms of Democrats. You know, with the economy, they'd be like, well, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, do they propose they want to do this and they want to do this and they want to do this? And oh my gosh, isn't this great? Oh, I wonder who's going to pay for it back to you. You're like, wait, hold on a second. You know, you're just kind of skipping over a really important part there.
Right.
We're talking about abortion. You know, the limits and codify Roe sounds good to us. Back to you. It's like, wait, hold on a second.
Right. And they never ask the you've been in office for 4 years. Why didn't you do it 3.5 years ago question either? Never ask that.
The interesting thing was the positive coverage of the praise of their policies we found came from voters. Which was interesting. which was something we also didn't see on ABC, because if folks will remember, 100% positive study going into the presidential debate on ABC's World News Tonight, we found that there had not been a single interview with a Trump Vance voter or a voter offering praise of the Republican ticket.
Right.
Which is, just absolutely remarkable stuff. And this goes to the complete disconnect, John. It's really important for folks to understand. The Democratic base in the news media, they believe this election should be fought over abortion in January 6th. Okay, because that was the other angle that they clung to. They completely ignored, for some people, like Tim Walz didn't even participate in the debate. You know, they were just going to ignore the fact that he was terrible and he completely choked. You know, J.D. Vance was slick. That was the other thing we noticed. He's slick now.
Yes.
You know, we got to figure out that word. But we got to make this election about January 6th. And it's like, people have just had their homes wiped away off the map, off the map in Western North Carolina. And you're like, well, we want to talk about January 6th.
And there's no FEMA funding because they've spent it all on housing and benefits for illegal aliens. But they don't,
They're like, no, we didn't do that. We actually took them. This much money was budgeted for these people.
Right.
And this much money was budgeted for those people. And I'm like, wow.
Well, then let's reappropriate that. Here's a novel idea. Let's spend it on American citizens instead of those who came here illegally and are criminals. But what a novel idea. Curtis, as always, I appreciate you, brothers. If folks want to see that study that MRC did, or if they want to connect with you, they can find it at newsbusters.org, correct?
Correct. Newsbusters.org, at Newsbusters on X, at the MRC on X. And I am at Curtis Houck, H-O-U-C-K.
Thank you. I was going to make sure we spelled that. I appreciate you as always, brother. Have a great rest of your Sunday evening.
You as well. Carry on, folks.
Thank you, brother. We'll take a quick break, and then we will continue our 2024 election candidate profiles with a conversation with Christopher Parisho, candidate for Kansas House District 95. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. I'm sensing a theme here, Phil. It's that time of year.
I plead innocent here. I'm just doing what I'm told.
Yeah, well, just so you know, I do Christmas right after Halloween. So I don't wait till Thanksgiving for Christmas. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. If you happen to miss a part of last week's show, don't worry about it. We got you covered. We post clips from all our shows online. You can just download the always free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, you make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for office as we can. I will endeavor to invite every candidate who will come on the show. There are some, Brandon Whipple, that were afraid to come on, but we try and invite them anyway. If there's somebody you'd like to have on the show, let us know. We'll reach out to them, invite them on to try and be a part of the show. All that being said, joining us now is Christopher Parisho. He's a candidate for Kansas House District 95. That seat is currently held by Democrat Representative Tom Sawyer. Chris, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the same question I generally ask everyone, which is why? Why would you want to? Trust me, I've been in the House. It's not for the pay. So why would you want to be in the House? Or for that matter, why throw your hat in politics in the first place?
Well,
it's bloody. It's nasty.
I'm a single father of four, and I'm looking at the future for my kids, and I want to try and make sure I leave something better than what we have now for them.
That's a good reason. I know in this district is interesting because the incumbent is Tom Sawyer. I know Tom. I served with Tom. He's a nice guy.
I hear that.
But
all the time.
The thing about Tom, he was first elected, if I did my math right, to the legislature in 1987. That's the year I graduated high school, to give context, and I'm an old man. That's a 35-year career in government. And just for context, I know you've taken a term limits pledge. I took the term limits pledge.
Yes, I have.
Tom Sawyer seems to me like he's the poster child for term limits, if you ask me. I mean, this is
in the state of Kansas.
35 years living off the government teat. At some point, I mean, talk about someone who's institutionalized.
Yes, very much so.
Do you hear that when you're in the district talking to folks?
When I'm talking to people, that's one of the biggest things they're shocked about is how long he's been there. For me, I was just graduating middle school when he first
started. Okay, now you make me feel old. Yeah. Okay, get out of here.
I'm not too far.
Middle school. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. But still, I mean, that's a long 35 years. That's like Washington, D.C. That's like these guys up in D.C.
That's a career politician.
Thank you. That is literally the definition of a career politician.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, this is a guy who's in House leadership.
Yes.
He's a Democrat minority leader.
Yep.
And so he does, you know, Laura Kelly calls and he, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know, jump how high kind of mindset. Can you represent your constituents when you're rubber stamping whatever the governor tells you to do?
That's a great question because we don't see much of the results of his constituency while he's there.
Well, I can imagine. I guarantee you he voted against the tax bill that Republicans put, probably every one of them. I'm sure he voted against the trans stuff. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he's all in for whenever Laura Kelly say, you know, votes,
yep,
tells him to vote, he votes for it. And again, I like Tom. He is personally a nice guy,
yep,
but he's got to be the definition of out of touch.
And he votes party line pretty much 99% of the time.
Look, I vote party line too.
Yeah.
But the district is not party line. If I know that district, and I'm fairly familiar with it, it's not a Democrat district.
It's a fairly even split between Democrat, Republican, and Independent.
Right, which is where really your representative should then be voting equally, trying to represent and blend and represent a bipartisan mix of constituents.
Or at least try and find some compromise.
Right. Yeah, I doubt Tom that. So what is the biggest issue facing voters in your district as you've been out door knocking? What are they telling you?
The economy is the biggest one. A lot of them are upset with what's going on with the school districts and school funding.
Do they feel, on the economy, do they feel that the tax bill that was passed, that Tom voted against, the, you know, the first ones that actually would have made meaningful change, do they think that they've done enough? Do they think they need more tax relief?
I think they need more, but they're not seeing a benefit from the state level stuff because the federal stuff is offsetting it by 1,000%. So they're not seeing the benefit for any of the tax benefits. And my district is more than half renters. So property tax isn't a huge issue for them. They let the landlords.
Well, and what they don't realize actually is property tax is a big issue for them because all those landlords are going to do when their property taxes go up, their rent's going to go up.
Correct. But they don't see that bill.
But you're right. They don't see that bill. So they don't see that. And property, let's be honest, the property tax that they're going to get, that landowners are going to get, is so meager.
True.
I mean, I've been pointing out to folks on the property tax relief that the county commission just did.
Yeah.
It's $4.14 on a $100,000 home. That's nothing when you consider how much, I mean, the commissioners themselves got a $3,000 pay raise, gave us a $4.14.
But the landlords will turn around and flip that and raise it 400% if they can.
Because they have to. I mean, it's nothing. Because when your property value, your appraisals keep going up, they're revenue neutral. They keep breaking revenue neutral. Mm-hmm. So they're raising effectively. I mean, I know last year my property taxes went up 28%. Year before that, it was 18%. I know people who've had them go up 32%.
They probably
because
see
of revenue of a, neutral.
They probably see more of an impact from the insurance they have to carry on their property.
That too, yeah. It's
than they do the property.
It's
tax.
All cumulative.
Yeah.
So have you? I know there's been talk in the legislature about passing a bill that would cap property taxes at 4%. Is that something you would support?
Definitely. Yeah, for both homeowners and renters, because then that's at least something you can plan for.
We're talking with Chris Parisho, who's a candidate for House District 95. Another economic policy issue that came up, it's come up every year, has been, you know, incentives that we had last year was the Chiefs Royals deal. The year before that, we had that big Apex deal that, you know, hopefully was going to generate upwards of 2,000, 1,500 or so jobs here in Wichita. It hasn't come to fruition yet.
Right.
What are your thoughts on those types of incentive programs?
I'm concerned that they're being used, but we're not getting the benefit out of them that we're being told to expect. In my district, actually, is the new baseball stadium that the city built. And it's on on the edge of whether or not it's going to pay back the star bonds.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be years down the road. By the time we do get any payback on it, they'll be like, oh, it's time to replace it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. So.
And you know, when they're selling land for dollar and that kind of stuff,
exactly.
That hurts your that too. You begin to question some of these deals. That
yeah.
I understand what you're talking. Yeah. For sure. You mentioned schools. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk to you a little bit, because schools are an issue.
Definitely.
And I think it's only a matter of time before they start suing the taxpayers for more taxpayer money.
Probably.
Yeah, and sadly, yeah. I think you're right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Chris Parisho, candidate for House District 95. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and get involved. Get activated. Volunteer. It's one of the best ways to get involved in election cycle is visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Alber. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1. Divide the nation philosophically. 2. Foment racial strife. 3. Cause distrust of police authority. 4. Swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5. Engender the military strength to weaken it. 6. Overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. 7. Encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8. Control all balloting. 9. Control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pen a good finish.
How sad is it that something back in the 50s is so relevant today? It shows how liberals have never changed their playbook. With us still is Chris Parisho, candidate for Kansas House District 95. So, Chris, before the break, we talked briefly, we started on legislature on school funding.
Yes.
You said it's one of the issues that has come up in your district a lot. Is it, are they saying that they don't think these schools are funded enough, or are they more concerned that they're not getting the outcomes that they want to see?
And they're concerned that the money that they are paying isn't being well spent.
Which is true. I mean, we're going to have Walt Chappell coming up here in the next hour. And some of the numbers that he will share are stunning. And of course, now, you know, USD 259 wants another $450 million to build some more buildings. And yet their outcomes are horrific and have been for decades.
They haven't finished the last bond issue.
Right. Well, that's why they want the new one, is because they don't want it to expire.
Right.
But if you're still, I mean, they tout graduation rates. But if you're graduating students that aren't performing aren't college and career ready, then whoopee-doo, you're just graduating kids that aren't ready to graduate.
Yeah, a lot of kids are getting remedial classes when they hit college because they're not prepared.
Exactly. So do you feel the schools are adequately funded? I mean, is it more an issue of they need more money, or is it more that we need to focus on outcomes?
I think they have plenty of funding at this point. Last time I looked at USD 259, there's at least 30 people, if not more, that make as much or more than the governor of the state of Kansas.
More than that, yeah. The superintendent makes, I think, 3 times what the
Easy.
Governor makes. Yeah. It's not to say, I mean, I guess if he's worth it, but you know, we're all graded based on our outcomes.
Right.
And if your outcomes are that poor, then maybe you shouldn't be getting $300,000.
Well, and they're responsible at the district level for about 50,000 students versus the governor, who's responsible for a couple million people.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. What about another issue that was passed recently that with a lot of controversy was the protection for women and girls sports that actually passed. But another issue that failed was the issue about gender-affirming care.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a case where a child can be permanently bodily altered based on a feeling, based on a whim. It's something that will come up again because Laura Kelly vetoed it, but they almost had enough votes to pass it. What are your thoughts on that? A couple of rhinos voted against it.
Back in my day, we would have called tomboys and, you know, girls who are into boys things. You
right.
mean, now it's some sort of a mental disorder that they have to physically change them in order to fix. Just let kids be kids.
Right. Well, this is a permanent change, too.
Yeah.
This is, you know, you're making permanent, unalterable changes to their bio. And just because someone thinks there doesn't make it so. I mean, I can think I'm, you know, Rush Limbaugh. I'm not.
Yeah. They will be unable to reproduce if they go through the full change from one to the other. They're literally making them unable to have children.
Yeah, it's sad. We're talking with Chris Parisho, candidate for House District 95. Another issue that's come up, both chambers have talked about it. The House actually passed a bill a few years ago, is legalizing marijuana, one form or another, either recreational or medical. What are your thoughts on legalizing pot?
That is definitely a popular issue in my district, and I would support it.
Recreational, medical, which side?
Both. I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, see, now that is an issue there where you differ from the vast majority of Republicans.
Yes.
Most Republicans would say yes to medical with limitations.
Right.
But, I mean, like you and I are going to radically disagree on this one.
And I understand that.
I only support medical if it is highly regulated with a prescription and dispensed through a pharmacy. That's the only way I'm ever going to get behind it.
But and you're I can in, understand
you're all,
that position.
You are all in on the recreational, toke it up, serve yourself some brownies and Doritos and go to
I think
to
we're
it.
Missing out on taxes that's going to all of our neighboring states.
And, talk to those states. Yeah. Trust me. You talk to those legislators, they regret their decision. Oklahoma is it totally regrets it because the costs that you get from the revenue are being radically outweighed by the additional costs of DUIs, the social costs, the welfare costs, the pothead costs. Trust me, it's not worth the money. Talk to Colorado. They're having the same experiences. It's not worth the revenue. Trust me.
That's one of those we'll have to agree to disagree.
No, it's fact, though. Yeah. I mean, it's fact. If you talk to Colorado and if you talk to Oklahoma, the facts are it's not worth the money. Now, it may be a liberty issue because we've got a caller who will probably call because he listens to the show. Nick, by the way, Nick's going to call here any minute now. And when Nick calls, I'll take the call. But he's going to call because he always calls whenever I talk about pot. Yeah. But it's just not worth it. I mean, let's set aside the medical side to it that it's marijuana's not good for you. That he'll call now. I guarantee you. Now that I've said that, I guarantee you he's going to call. But it's just, but that's an interesting one. And see, this is one of the things that you mentioned in the first part of our interview.
Yes.
When you talked about finding issues that represent your district.
Right. Exactly.
Because your district is not like my old house district where it was pro-life, pro-gun, get off my porch.
Yeah. I've got people in my district there that you support go. Full.
And this is why Tom Sawyer does not represent his district.
Exactly.
Because you can take an opinion that is radically different from a conservative, quote-unquote, Republican position, but it represents your district. Tom can't do that.
See, I'm not someone that would smoke pot, medically or otherwise, but I support other people who wish to do that.
So what you're saying is, I did not inhale.
Exactly.
Gotcha. How about guns? It's a key core fundamental principle of the Republican Party, pro-life, pro-guns.
Pro-gun, 100% for what we have in the state. Would like to make it even stronger as far as protecting the gun owner's rights.
See, and there's another area where Tom would, I guarantee you, he's following right on line with, with the governor, if she's wanting red flag laws and gun confiscation and everything else.
Yeah, I think those would be abused.
Oh, of course they would. Yeah. And not to mention the fact that they violate the Constitution. But,
that too.
It's interesting. As we've had this conversation, I can see how you do match that district better than their current representation. And then you factor in the 38 years.
Yeah.
It's just, as Barack Obama used to say, it's time for change.
Very much so.
Change is a good thing. So
fresh blood.
Fresh, yes. That's a fresh perspective, if nothing else. So, Chris, if folks want to get information, I know you're door knocking. I know you're working your butt self off, shall we say. If they want to volunteer, more importantly, if they want to donate, because I guarantee you Tom Sawyer's got a ton of money. They can visit Parisho, it's Parisho for Kansas House on Facebook.
Correct.
But that's the best way if they want to get, because you need money.
Yeah, they can message me there and then I can get them the information they need to send in a donation.
And that's the best way if they want to volunteer, if they want to door knock, because you're out door knocking.
Yes.
You ran against Tom 2 years ago. You came very close, correct?
Yep. I spent about $1,500 to his $30,000 that he spent, and I came within 500 votes.
Within 500 votes by spending $1,500.
Yep.
So, folks, this is your opportunity. If you want to help a candidate who has a really good shot of beating an incumbent Democrat, of switching a seat, here is a chance. $50, $10, every little bit will help. A little bit of door knocking, a little bit of effort. Here is a race where we can make a difference and swing a seat from Democrat to Republican and really make a difference and really piss off Laura Kelly knocking out.
Voters get to impose term limits.
Yes. That's actually, I love that idea because that's what it would be. Chris, again, it's Parisho for Kansas House District 95 on Facebook. Thank you again for joining us. Best of luck, brother.
Thank you for having me on.
I appreciate you. I'm going to try and get some folks out to help door knock for you and help you out. All right, brother.
Yep.
Appreciate you. Best of luck, my friend.
Thank you.
We've got a rest of our show coming up on my top of the hour break, but as soon as we will take some calls in the bottom of the hour here coming up at 8:45. We've got a great rest of our show though coming up after the top of the hour break. Numbers USA Research Director Eric Rourke will expose the failed Senate border bill for the fraud that it was. And we're going to have that conversation with Dr. Walt Chappell, who will really let you know kind of what the true nuts and bolts behind USD 259's push for a massive tax increase. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Remember, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social, and follow me on Twitter at John X. I always forget that, at John R. Whitmer, to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Love to hear from you. Well, during Tuesday's debate, Tim Walz touted a failed Senate border bill, which mandated processing 1,400 illegal aliens every day, a bill that would have codified the Biden-Harris border policies, which have resulted in the largest spike in illegal immigration in history. And then again, on Friday, Vice President Harris visited the southern border for the first time as a presidential candidate, where she said she would bring back the failed Senate bill and sign it into law. Like it's that easy to just do that. I'll just bring it back. I'll sign it. So what exactly would that infamous Senate bill have accomplished? Well, with us to answer that question is Numbers USA Research Director Eric Rourke. Eric, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, brother.
It's always great to be on with you. And you described it perfectly. It would have codified the border policies that we see now from the Biden-Harris administration. And it did. It mandated 1,400 inadmissible aliens to be processed into the U.S. and released a day. And you know that's the Democrats, particularly Harris and Walz, that's the story. Not only is this is our border plan, or this is our immigration plan, but the fact that the border isn't secure is because Donald Trump stopped it from passing the Senate. And what they ignore is that the House had passed H.R. 2, Secure the Border Act, which was an actual tough enforcement bill. And that would have gone a long way towards securing the border. The Senate border bill would have rubber stamped the policies we have that were put in place by the Biden administration.
And yet, if you listen to Democrats, or for that matter, the mainstream media, the Senate bill would have solved all of our immigration problems. I mean, they make it out like it would have hired all the necessary new personnel. It would have put in all the necessary judges, and everything would have been great and perfect, and everything fixed everything at the border. They say it's the most comprehensive bill ever done. Perfect legislation solves everything. I mean, would it have?
Well, it depends on what your view is, and I think I know what your view is. I can certainly tell you Numbers USA's view is very different than
mine's probably the same as yours.
Right. So fixing it, yes, the bill would have given more money to Border Patrol agents, but it would have given them more money to process more inadmissible aliens into the country more quickly.
That doesn't fix the problem, though.
Right. No, it doesn't stop the problem of illegal immigration,
right.
But it does, if you want to use the term optics, and that's what they've done with parole, and that's what they've done with some of the other programs, the CBP One app, where you go on your phone and you make an appointment, but you have no legal right to enter the country. It's managing illegal immigration. It's aiding and abetting it, really. And saying that this is a solution to the crisis.
Right. It doesn't stop illegal. It didn't build more wall. It didn't send the ones that are here back. It just makes the process of letting more of them in go faster, basically.
That's basically correct. And ultimately, if there's an administration who comes in after the Biden administration, of course, we will have one. It just depends on who it is. If an administration comes in who wants to crack down, the Senate bill would have, on illegal immigration, the Senate bill would have made it much more difficult, because it didn't address the abuses of the Biden administration, but it also didn't address the fact that people can show up and claim credible fear, say that if you return me to my home country, I'm going to be persecuted. It didn't say you actually have to demonstrate. You just have to say that, and we will release you into the country. And here's an important point, and this is really what was very frustrating, because we did have some Republicans in the Senate who were pushing this.
Senator Langford from Oklahoma, most notably, who said that this would end catch and release. But the bill would have ended catch and release by calling it non-custodial detention. So that's how they solved it, just calling it something else.
Which, okay. Yeah, so, right. Again, this is just, it's so typical government. It's so typical government. We're talking with Numbers USA Director of Research and Public Relations, Eric Rourke. So then the other big talking point that we hear out of Democrats and the media in particular is that Donald Trump didn't like the bill, so he had Republicans kill it. That too is very disingenuous. As if you know what the real workings behind it, that's also just a whole host of hogwash. Am I right? Because we both know that that bill was dead on arrival when it went to the House.
And dead on arrival that was the term used by Speaker of the House,
right,
Mike Johnson.
Yes.
And so, yes, there was no chance that this was going to get through the House. It didn't even get through the Senate, number one.
Right.
There was no way if the Senate had managed to get enough votes that it was going to pass. And this is the thing. Donald Trump came out after the bill had already basically failed. He knew it was going to fail. He came out. He was right to oppose it, but the bill was going to fail whether or not he supported or opposed that bill. And this is, you know, the Senate and Mitch McConnell, who's the minority leader, Republican leader in the Senate, he and Schumer came out and said, this is the deal. You take it or leave it, while ignoring the fact that H.R. 2 was the position that Mike Johnson said is our position in the House. And if you don't have a Senate deal that has provisions of H.R. 2 in it, we're not going to take the bill up. So the Senate basically acted as if H.R. 2 didn't exist and the House of Representatives was irrelevant to the process of passing a bill into law.
I'm glad you mentioned H.R. 2 because that's the House version. That's the bill that they passed. The second one they took up this biennium or whatever they call it. And that's the one that has been literally sitting in Chucky Schumer's drawer collecting dust now. He's never going to take that up, much like Johnson never would have taken up the Senate bill, correct? So both of these bills are effectively dead.
Yes, both of these bills are effectively dead. Now, Speaker Johnson could have attached H.R. 2 to the Ukraine funding, which he said he was going to do. He did not do that. That was very disappointing. But H.R. 2 passed the House, and it got more votes in the Senate when it was attached as an amendment to a budget bill than the Senate deal got in the Senate. So more senators voted for H.R. 2 than voted for the Senate deal.
Yeah, but still, this is the problem with, you know, the Senate leadership right now. The Democrats won't do anything that Joe Biden or whoever manages him tells them to do. Eric, I appreciate you, brother. Every time they bring this up, and it's come up in both of the debates now, it's the media loves to hammer Donald Trump and say he's the reason that we didn't get this great immigration bill. That's why I reached out to you guys, and I just wanted to kind of pop that balloon a little bit so we had a dose of reality. If folks want to get some, anytime they need numbers on this issue, literally, they can come to Numbers USA. But anytime they want stats, they want data, facts to combat this argument, they can visit numbersusa.com, and it's at numbersusa on X, correct?
That is correct. And Trump was right to oppose the bill, but the reason that bill died within a couple of days is because American people spoke out against it.
Yep.
And that's what people need to understand. Your voices are heard, and that's what killed that Senate bill.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. Brother, I appreciate you as always. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, my friend.
You too. Thank you so much.
We'll take a quick break, and then Kansas House Majority Leader Chris Croft will explain how Governor Kelly has abandoned all pretense for moderation and endorsed a cadre of candidates who are self-described socialists. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Had to play the Laura Kelly theme.
Yes.
Song. Yes, of course. It's only appropriate. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Remember, every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. to phone for freedom. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. Well, Governor Laura Kelly's middle-of-the-road PAC, there's something that's not appropriately named, on Monday endorsed 81 Democrats to go along with the four Democrats she'd endorsed during the primary. The endorsements didn't include any Republicans. So much for middle-of-the-road. Which brings into questions, for some, whether the Political Action Committee met its originally stated goal when Kelly announced the PAC in August of last year. She said it would, quote, publicly endorse moderate candidates in Kansas, regardless of political party. And yet, she just endorsed all Democrats. With us now to expose Kelly for the partisan hack we all know her to be is House Majority Leader Chris Croft. Mr. Leader, thank you for joining us this evening. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
So, these candidates that her middle-of-the-road PAC have endorsed, I looked at some of the positions that they've taken. I mean, you're looking at, there's, I mean, you've got multiple who support the Green New Deal. Almost all of them are in all in on Medicare for all. You've got some that support cashless bail. There are a few that support defunding the police. I mean, there's some real reach across the aisle support here. I mean,
Yeah, in fact, I think the speaker, when he put his quote out on that, was pretty clear about all those things.
Yeah.
And the people that she's endorsing.
I mean, it just goes to show, for someone who is supposedly middle of the road, she's fairly out of touch. And frankly, so is the Democrat Party, out of touch with mainstream Kansans, that they think these are the issues that the majority of Kansans support.
Well, right. And John, that's the problem here. I mean, first off, you know, they talk about talk. And at the beginning of this thing, she talked a good game. But the actions that they have taken show you exactly what they're about. And it's clear that it's all one way and it's all way to the extreme left. And it's saddened to see it that way. You kind of thought, well, maybe we could work those things, but there's no way. This group is unbelievable.
Well, and the best illustration of this that I can think of is a colleague of yours who passed earlier this year, and that is Marvin Robinson, who is a Democrat who voted with the Republicans, not all the time, but whenever his conscience called upon him to do so, he voted with Republicans. But there is no room for disagreement in the Kansas Democrat Party because, I mean, there are no such things as pro-life or pro-Second Amendment Democrats in the Kansas Democrat Party. And when you look at the nastiness, at the way the Democrat Party turned on Marvin Robinson for daring to vote his district and daring to vote his conscience, the way they treated him was really disgraceful.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was pathetic, if you ask me. I mean, the way they did that, and people don't know the words that were said, and he would tell us, and it was pretty bad.
Oh, they know. I shared. I mean, for my listeners who don't know, Marvin Robinson was an African American, and he had colleagues on the House floor. Democrat colleagues refer to him as a House Negro, other terms like that. I mean, just vile stuff, and all because of the way he was voting.
Yeah, and that's the stuff they said to him publicly. The stuff that they said to him, to whispered at him, walking by. And the things they said there were just awful, even much worse than that. And you're right. There is no room over there for original thought. There's no room over there for your conscience. You follow the line. You toe the line or you're out. And, you know, at his funeral, you could see the difference. Who was there and who wasn't there? That should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it should. We're talking with House Majority Leader Chris Croft. So I did look at a lot of her activities and a lot of where I think she's spending her money. It definitely looks like she is got a target on Johnson County. It looks like she is really focused on some key races up there. And that, I think, is designed to limit that supermajority in both chambers. How are you feeling? We're basically, we're 30 days out. We're a month away. What are your thoughts looking at it a month from now?
Well, I will tell you, you're right. This is the battleground. It doesn't mean there aren't other fights out there. We have to always maintain vision on all of them, and we are. What's great about this is, you know, we're operating as a team. We're working together. Each person has a role in this, as some are organizing walk groups, some are organizing fundraising, some are getting out and just encouraging others. And just the level of effort on our team has been amazing and is so uplifting to everybody that's out there. I will tell you, I feel great. I feel good about what we've got going. I feel good about the product of the people that we have. Our candidates are incredible. We've done a good job of getting the right people in there for this, and they're ready to fight for the freedoms and for our state and make sure we stay with the conservative values.
And we do have some, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I know Blake Carpenter was just up in Johnson County knocking on candidates, but you're right. It's not just JoCo. I mean, we've got some opportunities down here. Last week we had Eric Seligman. He's running against a Democrat. The guest right before you last hour was Christopher Parisho. He's running against Tom Sawyer. We have a great candidate out in Hutch running against Sweeley.
Jason Probst.
Yep, running against Jason Probst. There's an opportunity to swing a seat, but we also have to defend Sandy Pickert and some other Republican seats that they're going after.
That's correct. But that's the nice thing about this thing. If you were trying to do it as one person by yourself doing these things, it'd be extremely difficult. And that's the thing, I think, when they're running up against us, we're running as a team working together. You're right, Blake is, it's not just Blake walking. Blake has organized people all around from our team to come up and walk all over the state. And that's what's really cool about this is he's doing that while, like I said, you got the speaker out there raising money and helping and doing things. You got the chairman who's organizing a lot of the activities and making sure that we're engaging where we need to engage and that we're lifting up all of our members and encouraging them to get out there and walk and talk and engage with the constituents. Because quite frankly, the reason the Democrats are attacking the way they are, because they have nothing.
Right.
All they have is raising taxes, having big government, and controlling our lives and taking away our freedoms. That's what they have, and they know that doesn't sell. That's their problem. They can't sell what they have. We can. We have the high ground on this one, and we're going to continue to fight.
Well, the key is, and I have to share, sadly, a lot of this comes down to money. There are a couple of events coming up on Saturday, October 12th. There is a fundraiser for Stephen Owens and Emil Berquist, which are, Emil obviously running for re-election. Stephen Owens is running for the Senate. We also have a fundraiser tomorrow night here in Wichita for Representative Leo Delperdang. You guys at the RHCC have events that are constantly going on to do fundraisers to, help these candidates. If you've got events that are coming up with the RHCC, if folks want to get out, if they want to door knock, if they want to donate, if they can afford to, what's the best way for them to help?
Well, a couple ways. One, we have, and first off, we do have another fundraiser out in Garden City.
Oh, good. Okay.
Coming up on the 8th. So what we've tried to do is have fundraisers all around the state, recognizing that we don't just do it in Wichita, over in Kansas City and Topeka, but Kansas is made up of Republicans all over the place. And we need to make sure we're operating as a team. And that's what this intent is, to make sure that we get out there and talk to everybody and give opportunities. So I'm excited about this one out in Garden City. I think it's going to be tremendously successful. I know we're going to achieve our goal that we have set for this year. And you know what? Money is a big deal, and we appreciate it. We are on we're on WinRed. You can donate through that way. It's probably the easiest way. You could also send a check to RHCC at P.O. Box 2632, Topeka, Kansas, 66601. Those are the easiest ways, or if you want to write a check and give it to one of our members, and they'll make sure it gets turned in as well.
Yep, they can always reach out to me, too, through the show's Facebook page. I'll be happy to pass it on. Lastly, I know, Mr. Speaker, you're a target. She would love to come after you. Mr. Leader. Yeah, well, hey, maybe the Dan's only got one more term, but I know you're a target. If folks want to help you, if they want to support you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, you can, as far as sending an email, is Crawford, Chris at CrawfordKansas.com. You can send it you can mail it to my house, and or you can just give me a call, and I'll be glad to organize it and make sure you connect with me.
CrawfordKansas.com. Leader, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. I know you guys are working 30 days. We just got to run through the tape, right? I mean, that's the key. We just
absolutely. And everybody's out there sprinting. And John, we appreciate all that you do and trying to keep everybody focused on the issues that are out there. So you keep up the great work, and let's keep fighting for the people of Kansas.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I appreciate you, brother. Carry on the fight, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later, John.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then former Kansas State School Board member Dr. Walt Chappell will be with us to explain why he says much of the information presented to the USD 259 school board to justify their $450 million tax increase is false or misleading. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. How appropriate! Our school funding theme song, Never Enough! I'm such a smart aleck. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Never Enough. Sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Oh, it's so appropriate. Never Enough. Oh, yeah. They hate it when I play that song. In February, voters in Wichita will be asked to approve a $450 million USD 259 tax increase. The district claims the funds are to help with $1.2 billion in deferred maintenance and will not result in any new taxes. But both of those claims are now being questioned as more information comes to light. With us now to bring us more information about the bond question is Dr. Walt Chappell. He's a former member of the Kansas Board of Education, State Board of Education. He is passionate about student achievement and success. He says the recent announcement of the master plan is rushed, unnecessary, and does not have the students' future in mind. Walt, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks, John.
So let's start with the claim that the district is making that it is not a tax increase. I've made this case. I'll put it to you. You're a former member of the State Board of Education, so let's just put it out there. Is this a new tax increase or not?
Yes.
Okay, so we're done. Thank you for joining us this evening. Because the case that I make is that in 2028, the current bond expires, and therefore your taxes will go down by $179 on a $200,000 home. So effectively, as long as you vote no, you're voting for your own tax cut. So it is technically a tax increase. Am I wrong?
Well, that part is correct, as well as the fact that they say, okay, we're not raising the rate. They're going to keep it at 7.5 mils.
Right.
Okay. 7.5 mils is fine, but we have an appraisal that is inflating the value of our homes, right?
Every year, yeah.
So they're actually receiving another $14 to $18 million more.
Every year, basically.
No. Over a period of years.
Oh, the period, okay.
But by next year, it'll be $4 million more and so forth. We're actually going to see our property taxes go up starting as soon as that bond issue is
correct
sold.
Right.
They're going to sell the bonds, and then we have to start paying principal and interest.
So, yeah. So the whole thing is that's a sham when they say that. How about this? Because the other justification that I've heard, and I've had long conversations with members of the school board, the Republican members, who tried to convince me not to come out opposed to this. And we have to do this. It's necessary. There's $1.2 billion in deferred maintenance. Is that true?
Not at all. I've actually had an opportunity to see that Excel spreadsheet. I've followed this issue ever since January because I've seen this movie before. In 2008, they did the same thing where the contractors and architects came together and they said, oh, wouldn't this be wonderful if we spent all this money and your kids will see improvements in their achievement. So I was very curious in January when I heard the school board was going to be discussing changes in how we are going to educate our kids, but more specifically to close six schools. And I started listening very carefully to what was going on. And the deferred maintenance was one of the things they raised, $1.2 billion. I said, how in the heck could that possibly be?
Yeah, what have they been doing with all their maintenance? All because they always tout the silos. You know, you can't spend money out of this silo because there's always money that has to be spent on maintenance. Well, what were they spending that money on then?
Well, the issue is, I actually looked at that spreadsheet. It's 4,000 individual line items. They have gone out through a company here in town, Cox and Schaefer and Johnson. They're the architects that ran the program back in 2008, and they went to each of the schools and they listed each individual item that they wanted to do, like change out the windows, or we're going to move a wall, or we have a door we'd like to replace, or we want to put up a new roof on a building that we just built. So in the future, it'll be 5 years from now, we're going to need a new roof on this building. All of this is not deferred maintenance. It's a wish list of things these guys would like to do. And then I asked Luke Newman, the guy that's in charge of facilities, I said, Luke, tell me, how did you come up with these prices? Did you go out to bid? No. Are they on current pricing, you know, for today's cost? No. Are they on 5-year, 10-year? He couldn't tell me. But he did say that they've used software to come up with all these. All right, what are the assumptions? What are the assumptions and the calculations?
So like at our home, one of the things we would love to do is at some point we would like to put some outdoor lighting on our back porch.
Right on.
So
that's not deferred.
Right. But it's something we'd like to do. Yep. But according to USD 259, that would be included in the $1.2 billion in deferred maintenance.
Those 4,000 line items, when you look at that Excel spreadsheet, it's just amazing.
But that's not deferred maintenance.
It
that's a wish list
deferred.
Of items that you'd like.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a scare tactic.
It's a scare tactic.
It's an effort to try to tell the board, if you don't do this, if you don't close these buildings, and by the way, we want to close another 18 for a total of 24 buildings that we've now spent $430 million from 2008 to renovate. So it's like wadding up paper and throwing it in the trash.
Wow. Well, the other thing I want to talk about, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about, because when they pitched this thing back in 2008, the argument was that if you build new schools, we'll get better outcomes. And you and I were just on Kansas Week on Friday. And once again, Dion Leffler made the case. And Representative John Carmichael made the case, and USC 259 is saying the same thing again now, that we can't have, if we don't have good schools, then we can't have good outcomes. When we come back, I'd like to talk about what kind of outcomes we got the last time we built a bunch of new schools, and if there's any correlation between new buildings, this kind of spending, and outcomes. All right?
Great.
We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radios in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
Yeah, hopefully, and hopefully they'll be voting too. Don't forget my carry-on commentaries. It's the new 60-second daily features. You'll hear those three times a day, 5 days a week, right here on KNSS. Also, don't forget the Wichita Pachyderm Club meets every Friday at noon. And coming up this Saturday, the October 12th at 9:30, is the monthly meeting of Republican Women United. If you want information on any of these events, you can visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. With us still is Dr. Walt Chapples, a former member of the Kansas Board of Education. So, Walt, you know, before the break, we talked about basically about achievement. There's according to a recent niche.com survey, Wichita Public Schools ranked 15th among local regional schools. The lowest grade, sadly, was in academics. And yet they still want more money from local taxpayers. One of the arguments that they make is that, you know, if you have newer schools, that they deserve these new school buildings. And if you have new school buildings, you'll have better achievement, better outcomes. Is there any correlation between new buildings and achievement numbers?
None.
You know, you make these answers are so quick and so simple. I mean, what kind of achievement numbers have we seen? Goodness. You know, on like reading math, as I used to say, on ciphering. You know, reading, writing, and mathematics.
Well, in 2008, we had 5 new buildings built. And that included Southeast High, for example, and Ortiz and Mueller. Let me give you some figures. Now, in Mueller, it's a brand new school. They sold the previous Mueller school on 24th Street to a very fine gentleman that I think you probably had on your show, Pastor Wade Moore.
I have had Pastor Moore on the show, yes.
That Urban Prep Academy is now going strong, has been there ever since. He bought it for $40,000. They had put $2 million in it from the bond issue from 2008. And in the meantime, they built a brand new Mueller school over by the city's, whatever they call it, right? Your center right there.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Okay. My point is that Mueller School has an achievement of 6% of the students are being proficient. That's levels 3 and 4. 6%.
6% is college and career or achievement rate.
Correct.
So 94% are not making grade.
And the same situation up in Ortiz School. Ortiz was a school up on North Arkansas Avenue. They built a brand new one, tore the other one down. And now we have 12% of those students is all that are proficient. There is no relationship between brand new schools and student achievement. I've traveled around the world. When I go to other countries, I see their buildings, some of them built in the 14th century. Oxford University, for example, Cambridge University, some of the best universities in the world are built and still used, has nothing to do with student achievement.
Yeah, you're right. I remember when I was touring in Scotland and I saw parts of St. Andrews University, and that those buildings are still the original campuses. And you're right. The buildings are still the same. Now, they may have put in some new AC ductwork, but the actual edifices themselves still date back to, you know, the 18, 1700s.
So it's the same thing with Southeast High, with the other new schools they built. It has no relationship. And so for us to try to take that assumption that you've got to, I'm looking at a sheet here. They said, we're spread too thin. One of the things they say is, okay, we have to have adequate classrooms. Well, they're saying a classroom right now is 700 square feet. To make it adequate, it's got to be 900 square feet. That has no relationship whatsoever to the kids learning.
Well, and hasn't enrollment numbers for USD 259 either remained flat or effectively declined in the last few years?
For the last 30 years, it has not ever been 63,000 students, which is what they call capacity. When they used that figure, they tried to say, well, those are the seats we could fill if we had every student, you know.
We could fill.
The point I'm trying to get to is that for the last 30 years, we've ranged from 46,000 to 50,000. It fluctuates depending upon who's, you know, employed, workers. We've had a number of different companies come and go. The bottom line is that they're using numbers that are actually inflated so much that it has no bearing on fact.
So what is the solution then? I mean, what if the other thing that frustrates me here is I have heard that the superintendent has told members of the school board that they will proceed with their facilities master plan with or without the passage of the bond. They do not need the bond. They do not need the tax increase to proceed with their plan. So if they don't need to raise taxes to do this, why do they have to have the tax increase then? Why couldn't they do it without raising taxes?
Well, what I've heard him say is not that simple. They say they have to have the tax increase, if you will, and the bond issue sold. A 450 is a step one. It's a three-step process. The master plan is actually $2.2 billion that will all come out of property taxes here in Wichita. So step one is to close 18 schools total in addition to the 6. But they say, all right, if we don't do the bond issue, then we're going to be able to have a chance to say, all right, gosh, we're going to close the schools anyway. Now, that to me is scare tactics. It's trying to get the school board and the voters to go along with an idea that they're going to close down whether they do it or not.
Well, one of the things that's frustrating me most about this is the fact that they're spending $316,000 taxpayer money on an out-of-state consultant to sell this master plan, this tax increase, to the taxpayers. I've always hated the idea, and I think it's corrupt to use taxpayer money to lobby taxpayers for more taxpayer money. It just, it seemed, look, if you think this is necessary, if you really feel passionate that you need this bond, then go make the case to the people, but don't hire an out-of-state consultant with taxpayer money to sell it.
Well, it's not just selling. That particular individual is a consulting firm that will go out and find buyers, if you will, for the bonds. But we have now a consulting firm that they've hired from Ohio to come in and take numbers from Cox and Schaefer that are bogus to start with, and because they're the out-of-state consultants, it's supposedly true. And I sit and listen to these guys, and I'm saying, where do you get these numbers? They are not based on fact, and yet we're supposed to believe you because you're now paid by the district as a, quote, experts to come in and tell us how we're supposed to build our schools.
So you've been around this process a long time. You've, like I said, you served on the state school board. Where do you think this falls? Do you think it passes? Do you think, I mean, what I'm hearing a lot from community members, they don't like it. They think the timing is bad. We're already taxed enough already. Do you think this thing passes?
Well, I hope not. And it depends on two things. First of all, we have to get people informed. And the second thing is they push this off to February for an election.
Intentionally.
When only about 8 to 10% of the people will show up. So that means that the people that listen to your show and others that actually take this serious are going to have to take time to talk to their neighbors and make sure they come to the polls and say, wait a minute, this isn't about kids. It's about profits for contractors and architects.
Do you think, and we've only got about a minute, I've said that they put it on that February ballot intentionally in the hopes of getting low voter turnout. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I tried to get them to put it on November, this November, when we have like 65% show. That would be a truly representative sample of the people in Wichita. But no, we're not going to have that.
Yeah, it's sad that it is. Walt, I appreciate you, my friend. If folks, I guess I would just tell them, stay informed, get out there, talk to your neighbors, and make sure folks are educated on this, right?
Thank you.
Appreciate you, my friend. Next week, we've got a couple very special guests who are going to be with us. Winsome Sears, the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, and Dinesh D'Souza. So we've got a great show planned for next week. In the meantime, have a great week. Don't forget to get your Trump Vance yard signs if you're interested. It's Sedgwick County GOP and Kansans for Life. And carry on, fellow deplorables.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.